I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Janet, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
First and goal from the 8-yard line. Heward with Coffin behind him now. Will he get the ball? Heward going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone. It is intercepted! Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball! Down to the 35, the 40. Kenny Wheaton's going to score! Kenny Wheaton's going to score! 20, the 10, touchdown! Kenny Wheaton on the interception! The most improbable finish to the football game!
Yes. I also see the play making the rounds on Twitter. You know, I said this earlier. I'd really like to know the numbers. And I probably have to go back to wherever Jerry and the then probably Oregon Sports Network, if they have an estimation of how many people were listening to Jerry's broadcast, as opposed to we know the amount at the stadium, although that's grown to 200 million,
yes.
As opposed to who was watching on TV, like I was, with Todd McKim and Ken Woody. And, I mean, obviously, at this point, I would say the average fan who lives around here, works around here, probably, if we didn't continuously remind you every year, because Cal is in the north, and every time I speak with Todd McKim, it comes to mind, it somehow comes up, that, you know, he called it on TV, and now, since I've been fortunate enough to have Kenny provide his ace analysis for pregame and postgame shows, always bring that up, but here's the real sad thing. I work in radio, and I have no idea how to find this information out. You probably won't meet someone who works in an industry, has had a modicum of success, has been in it for a while, and is like, people will explain things to me. Or no. Worse yet, people will have a conversation with me who assume or work in the industry and will use a terminology or explain a philosophy or use things that have to do with amount of listeners, or there's like time spent listening.
Oh yeah, TSL
and quarter hours and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever heard me refer to any of this?
No.
I am completely oblivious. Because to me, you know what'll happen? I'll start paying attention to that and spend from 0% of my time to like 8% of the time, which is less time I get to do my prep work, and one day it'll kill me. I'll be like, see, if I was doing my homework like I always did, instead of worrying about this stupid radio terminology, I would have known the answer, I would have known who the backup quarterback is for Colorado, and the guy who called would have been like, I could always rely on Steve, but suddenly you had to become a radio guy and learn the terminology and how ratings work and about revenue and listening.
Which is weird, because you love acronyms, and you get to learn about all these acronyms, and
they're
what
not
they
fun
would be.
Acronyms.
Okay, well, yeah, I was gonna say, there it is. Why don't you like these acronyms? Yeah, apparently they're not fun enough. You didn't get to create them and you add W's where things said very instead.
It's you where. See, that's me. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The discussion I had with some of my buddies, because unfortunately, a lot of them are like me. And for that, I apologize. Would it be as legendary? Because if Wheaton, upon intercepting, sometimes you see this. When Rodney Harrison intercepted Donovan McNabb at the end of the 2005 Super Bowl, Philly versus New England, I think he could have busted it. He said he slid down, game, knee, celebration, won a Super Bowl. Kenny Wheaton could have seen that if Damon Heward had any desire to make a tackle, he could have. And, you know, you don't want to have a collision because heaven forbid you fumble. And if he slid down, would it have had its place in Oregon lore? And of course, like we've talked about, and I talked about it with our own Jerry Allen, that if not for the follow-up game the next week, the 10-9 victory against Arizona, I mean, if they had ended up and then the number two team in the conference went to the Holiday Bowl, right? It wouldn't have been seen. Well, first of all, there's a big difference of being a program like Oregon, which didn't make a bowl for 26 years and then played in those secondary bowls, be it the Independence Bowl, the Freedom Bowl. They ended up playing in that, what was it, the friggin' Seattle Bowl or something like that, the Aloha Bowl. Not quite the Rose Bowl, especially in the 90s, you know, before there was a college football playoff and then the BCS rotation. I mean, the Rose Bowl was the Rose Bowl. It's the granddaddy. So just circumstance really sets the historical stage. And, well, the bottom line is, I think we answer our own question. We play it 9,000 times this week. Matt Carney put it into his song that everybody sings now between the first and second quarter, which, by the way, I have a tendency when I'm at either Matthew Knight Arena or Autzen Stadium, when it comes up between quarters, I just sit there and watch it like I'm seeing it for the first time. I'm kind of like one of the Hanson brothers during the national anthem. Don't bother me because I'd be like, listen to the friggin' song!
I love that song, man.
Me too.
Oh, it's
I get goosebumps.
Good. Oh, yeah, every time. And I think about it like if I'm like going, if I'm driving home or if I've gone somewhere and I'm coming back, I try and play the song or listen to it a little bit. Or at the game in Dallas, we had our big party bus full of 30 people that were on it, and we were all playing a whole bunch of songs. And one of the last ones we played before we was that song, and we were all singing along, and I had goosebumps, and everybody was drinking and having a grand old time. And then Bo Nix.
Bo Nix. That by gum. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. At the bottom of the hour, Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. We've also going to do some talking trash. So I kind of insinuated where I was going earlier in the week because obviously, if you team up the person, I think you could learn a lot about the type of fan someone is by who their all-time favorites are. So if I told you that three of my all-time favorite athletes were Ali, Namath, and Reggie Jackson, you'd probably be like,
he's old.
He probably, well, either besides that, he probably likes a guy who's not afraid to talk crap and back it up. Because you had the only guarantee that's ever mattered. Well, maybe Messier, Game 6, Rangers over Devils in 94. They were down. They were down 3-2, and he scored a hat trick. Ali, did Ali invent trash talking, or do we go back to what some feel is actually urban myth? The 1932 World Series, Yankees Cubs, when Babe Ruth supposedly called his shot. In the World Series. Would that count as trash talking? If you and I were doing this show in the early 1930s and it was a Thursday and it was 4 o'clock, would we be like, Babe Ruth calling his shot against Charlie Root and then jacking one out is?
I don't know if that's trash talk.
I think it's a legitimate question.
Like, I think if he had said, that guy's a bum, I'm going to hit a homer off him tomorrow, and then he, on top of that, in the middle of the at-bat, was like, dude, this is going to center field 900 feet over your head, and then he hit it 900 feet over his head. That's trash talk, because on top, like, there's layers to it. When you're just like, I mean, like Lillard in his big shot against Paul George, not necessarily pulling up in his face or anything, but he's just like, all right, they're going to give me this space, I'm going to take it, and then the bye-bye wave, that's the layer on it that makes it a little trash talk-ish, trash talk adjacent.
Trash talkier.
Yeah, just doing a thing and just kind of being like, I'm going to do it, and then doing it is very cool. It's a very cool thing that not a lot of people can do. I don't think it's trash talk, though.
So Ali, you know, with his rhymes, talking about, we're going to do this, and in the town, and in the sixth round, you're going down. And if he, you know, knocked out Tyrell Biggs in the sixth round, if you call the round, you're knocking a guy down in boxing. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, Joe Namath sitting in Miami just hearing about the Colts, and just blurting out, hey, listen. We've been watching film. We're going to win the game, I guarantee it, as an 18-point underdog, and then backing it up. That's pretty good. Could just raw fear be a form of trash talking? Because I will never forget, and my buddies lived in a place called Riverdale. It was on this big circle, a little north of the town we grew up in. It was 31 Post Lane, and it was called The War at the Shore. And Mike Tyson, in his vicious I will kill everyone prime, so he's fighting Michael Spinks. And a buddy of mine had messed around, had done some sparring. He just, the way he played basketball, the way he played hockey, he really was a student of the sports. He really kind of brought, for us idiots, kind of a cerebral approach. And so we were always afraid of betting Tyson, because you always had to lay like 15 to 1 and 12 to 1. I mean, there was like no chance he was ever going to lose. And so it was Michael Buffer doing the introductions, and for its time, you're going back 30 years ago. So the Douglas fight was, wow, this February will be 30 years ago, the Douglas fight. So they show a shot of Michael Spinks, and my buddy Tommy's like, I'm not kidding, I wish I could bet everything all of us have, this fight isn't going to last 2 minutes. What do you mean? He's like, I just saw fear in his eyes. And the fight lasted 90 seconds. Tyson came out. Remember, he used to have like that raggedy-ass gray sweatshirt cut off at the sleeves. The neck he had, it looked like he had the black boxer shoes on with no socks. And he would just do the whole thing with his neck. And, you know, some boxers would go in there thinking he had a chance. I think Spinks stepped through the ropes and was like, Mommy. He was probably pissed at, you know, his family forever allowing him to get to this point. And if you ever see the punch, I've never seen quite a knockout like this. He hits him on the upper half of his forehead, and it's turn out the lights, the party's over. And it, like I said, to just look, do you need words for it to be trash talking? Or if you shoot another competitor that you're going against a look, and he folds like a house of cards in a hurricane, is that a version of trash talking, I guess, what I'm asking? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And it's funny, because one of the reasons we were offered tickets to that fight. Now, to try and explain the proximity, first of all, if you went to Atlantic City for a fight, the joy was you spend the night, whatever happened in the fight, you had 5-6 casinos, which you can go gamble and just be degenerates, which we all were, which kind of a coincidence. So a couple of my buddies had sprung for a Sugar Ray Leonard fight, and they had got stuck in traffic. And as you well know, if you follow boxing, you get an undercard. You get maybe three or four preliminary fights, then maybe a lesser known, you know, welterweight or a WBA or a WBO championship.
A little teaser.
Yeah. And then you get the main event. You know, Michael Buffer comes out and you know his whole spiel. And, you know, you'd have Richard Steele or what's his name? Mills is the judge, and it was very big time. So, and let me tell you something, back in 87, 88, if you were one of us, I mean, and you sprung for $75 for a ticket plus the night, I mean, that was kind of like your vacation for the year. I mean, none of us were exactly rocket scientists and earning lawyer money or, you know, running a union money. We were all living hand to mouth. And basically, they went down there, got stuck in traffic, got for the main event. It ended in like a round and a half. And they were like, we're never doing this again. So we got offered the Tyson Spinks tickets for free. But we still had to, and I was like, 2.5 hours. With no traffic.
Free tickets is free tickets.
And, no, I said no.
Oh.
First of all, now that you know me enough.
Free tickets
you're
is free
also,
tickets,
you're, you also know my patience level. That's and how much I hate to drive. This is not something I developed out here. So.
Oh, man. I kind of wish that we could, live stream our drive to Autzen when we come back from Sam's place after doing the pregame show. But I don't think it would last. I think there would be a helicopter would come out of the sky with, a big magnet on the end. It would thunk onto the top of the car. They would pick us up, and they would drop us into the Willamette, and they'd be like, we're enough of this. We're done. But, yeah, your impatience with the lack of a moderate amount of traffic, even, you know, for Autzen on a game day, it's a good amount. But your lack of patience for just that, I cannot imagine what you would do in Portland, let alone the Bay Area, Southern California, or actually in Jersey driving around. I don't know how you would survive.
And the reason is because that's what I grew up with.
Oh.
And one of the reasons I've gotten so pissed around here is I left Jersey to end up in Jersey. I didn't sign up for this. When I used to do my morning show back in 90 and into 91, we were on the 11th floor of the Eugene Hilton. And remember, anybody who's from around here knows, Eugene was a small town. I consider it now a small city. It's totally different.
Oh, it's very much outgrown the small town feel. I constantly think about there are too many people on these tiny roads, and then I think about it, but there's nowhere to put any more roads because there's all homes there, and I don't think the city of Eugene would actually knock down some buildings to put a road through, but they're definitely going to put up a couple more apartment buildings if they can fit more people in them. There's a lot of people here, but it can't actually be as bad as Jersey, right? Is it proportionally as bad?
Oh, with the construction, when you would hear people on the Beltline complaining about how long it took, it'd be like, it's not Jersey, it's specific. It's a town like Clifton, New Jersey, Wayne, New Jersey, where I grew up. Same population, about the same kind of sprawl, six high schools, two main drags, Coburg Road, River Road. And it was like, and then as first, when I grew up in Jersey, where I did, the town was easy to get around. After, I've been here 20 years or so, it started with new developments. And all of a sudden, it was like getting from the Willowbrook section of Wayne to the Burndan Ave. It's like, really? It's a half hour now. And so when all the construction hit, it was like, oh my God, it reminds me exactly of what I went through when I was in my 20s and drove me up a stinking wall. So now that we're over that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, only if you'd like to jump on in. All right, you can hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter, at 953, the score for the station. You can hit us up at SportsTalk 953 for yours truly, or if you'd like to hit up Nick at Rick Nodgers. By the way, somebody said Gary Payton as a trash talker. Oh, yeah, the glove. As a matter of fact, just because timing is everything and it's all personal, I moved here a couple weeks after Peyton's career ended at Oregon State. So they got beat by Ball State. He fouled out. They were, you know, he was the player of the year, cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, he's a terrific player. And apparently, I never saw it, but then I heard about it, and then it grew into legend, and I had people describe being there. So Stanford's at Gill Coliseum, and he's just smoking them. I think he scored 50. And make no mistake, 50 points is a explosion in college. And so apparently he's just, every time he's walking, you know, running past the Cardinal bench, he's yelling at him, come on, don't you have anybody that can guard me? I mean, he tried to trash talk Jordan in the 96 finals. So no, Peyton was up there. Somebody said the U.S. women's soccer team were a bit of trash talkers. I don't know about trash talking as opposed to cocky and a willingness to step on one's throat, if that makes a little more sense. No, but Peyton, no question about it. And by the way, it's funny, whenever you play Jerry Allen's call of Kenny Wheaton, we always get people like, never get tired of it. And tell you what, the times you do get tired of it, I doubt it's 48 hours before the Husky game. So, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. By the way, somebody said I haven't mentioned that officially now the Oregon Lottery scoreboard is open for business. Nick mentioned that to me off air. So you want action? You got it.
Oh my God, and so many things.
Literally every sport you could possibly ever bet on is there, and you can bet on all of it. And I've never like actually gambled or bet on anything before, and I haven't fully created my account, but I've been looking through the app and the website and everything, and I'm slightly overwhelmed because I didn't realize how many different things you could actually possibly bet on that there are odds on. It's madness. And then that was just the games that were like upcoming, and I didn't even get into some of the live bets that you could get into.
Well, the bottom line is, having had an online offshore account for almost 20 years, you can't believe what you can bet on. You can bet on the Academy Awards, political races, not to mention my one site, you could bet on like cricket matches and stuff like that.
Oh, they have that on there, on here too.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, it's everything but college football, actually.
Well, will that also mean no college basketball? Guess we could sneak in one call before break. Get ready for Jerry Thompson to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We go. Bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. I just was calling in because you guys were talking about a sports betting app, and like the true degenerate I am, I downloaded it already. It's really weird though, because you sign up for an account, it makes you like scan in a front and back picture of your driver's license, and then they want a scan of an electric bill or something that show a major utility showing that you are an Oregon resident before they even let you create an account. It's
seriously
really odd. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like eerie. Like, I don't know, like, if I want, you know, going out in the interwebs, all my, you know, private information. But it's really weird. And then once you do it, so far it's been like, I don't know, like, I was just looking at it. I haven't even deposited money into it or anything. But scrolling through it, hearing the reviews of it, it's pretty slow moving so far. But there's got to be, you know, glitches in it because it's brand new. But we'll see. But just the sign-up process was really strange.
That's it. Yeah, but at this point, I mean, if you're on Facebook, I swear they're listening, because I'll talk about something with my wife and it'll show up on my feed. Like if it's I'm looking at a jersey or some kind of sports equipment, it's like, okay, so they're listening. There's no more privacy. Just deal with it.
Oh, that's absolutely true. But for whatever reason, they are really strict on verifying that you're an Oregon resident to bet on this one site. Even though there's several betting sites that you can download that, you know, are universal. You can be from anywhere and bet. But the Oregon Lottery one is very strict on you're an Oregon resident. And apparently you have to have, you know, jump through all these hoops to prove that. So I just thought it was odd. But I am the one of the listeners that downloaded it immediately just because. So I thought I'd share my insight.
Thanks, Josh. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll have an update. We'll talk some Duck sports with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Well, certainly more versatility, multiplicity. Certainly you can increase competition across the board. But he's been really good. He's really smart. And the more you can have guys like that step up and play like he has, obviously the better for a coach. So, you know, Andy's and the rest of the guys done a really good job using his talents and the rest of those guys.
Yeah, that's a great question. As Cristobal held his little media gaggle earlier this week, talking about Verone McKinley and just what he brings to the table and how frequently we see five defensive backs on the field. And obviously he had a career game with that silly one-foot down interception, and then the other one where he just was positioned properly. So when Montez threw it into four green jerseys, 23 happened to be one of them. And, that was during the part when the floodgates were open on consecutive back-to-back-to-back-to-back possessions by Colorado. The Ducks intercepted and blew it wide open. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're going to lock it up, lock it down. So, we got that going for us, which is nice. By the way, you could always text us, 321-0824. Right now, the newest edition of Ducks Illustrated is out. It's available, and it's got a picture of Jalen Redd making that catch off of Justin Herbert, the 13-yard for a big touchdown as, like I said, Oregon blew it wide open in the 45-3 romp. That made it 31-3. It's called Red Zone Successes. We welcome in Jerry Thompson. JT, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. It's a big week against Washington, so the anticipation is mounting every second.
Yeah, now we're at the point where in 48 hours the game will be over and we'll be into recapping what happened. But either way, let's...
Well, they changed the rule on the overtime. Yeah, you can say that now that they changed the overtime rule. We could go 12 overtimes. You can't do that anymore.
No. I made a deal. When the games start early, they end early. I got to be home in plenty of time for dinner and a cocktail by 6 o'clock. That's the deal.
All right.
Where could folks get the Ducks Illustrated?
The Ducks Illustrated free of charge at Bi-Marts, Dairy Marts, Oregon Sports Stores, and the Duck Shops.
All right. I've been talking to a lot of people this week. It's the 25th anniversary of the magical moment. Kenny Wheaton's going to score. On that day, where was Jerry Thompson?
I was actually sitting in the, I was sitting about the 30-yard line on the north side, so the great seat happened just right in, front of us almost. So it was a moment you'll never forget and totally unexpected, although it was a deja vu, as you probably know. Very few people know this.
What?
Bill Bowerman did the same thing in 1931.
To Washington?
Yes.
Did it lead to a Rose Bowl berth?
It was almost identical. And so, Washington's driving to score to the last few minutes of the game. Oregon's ahead 6-0, but it looks like Washington's going to score, make it 7-6, and the Ducks will win or lose again. But they got near the goal line, and they actually threw a pass, and Bill Bowerman picked it off and ran 87 yards for a touchdown. Final score, 13-0 Ducks.
1931. All right.
Yes.
So my question is, as somebody who has followed this program for a long, long time, the almost I want to ask the level of heat, because, I didn't get here till 1990, and I went to my first Duck Husky game in 92, and I didn't hear much talk about it. Was it always that heated? And I know that a lot of it had to do with guys who got recruited by one, not the other. You know, Ken Woody was one of them, who was from Washington, didn't get recruited by the Huskies. Or did it really start to heat up or get overheated when both teams actually became viable Pac-10 programs?
Well, no perspective on history. It was actually very, very heated in the 30s, and it's one of the reasons because Washington had kind of dominated, but then for six straight years, Oregon won. And then one time at Multnomah Stadium, because they played at Multnomah in Portland for the Washington game, that the fights broke out after the game, and both teams sat there and watched the fans going at each other. Ross Carter told about that. But, you know, Ahmad Rashad, Bobby Moore, was his brother was a fantastic athlete from the state of Washington. He was on the Husky team. He got kicked off or something. So Ahmad Rashad went to Oregon instead. And that was a very heated then. But then, you know, Washington dominated. They have these six-game win streaks quite often. But it was 87 with Bill Rosgrave when we won two in a row. Terry Obey 49 special in 88, but the 87 game broke a six-game winning streak by Washington. I think it really started to, you know, up until then, for a while, it was like we are to Oregon State now. Oregon State's kind of like the little brother right now. I mean, it wasn't always that way, but we win most of them. And a lot of people around here don't even consider it that much of a rivalry. The rivalry is Washington. Well, when Oregon started beating him fairly consistently, now I think Washington considers us a real rival.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you heard our conversation. A lot of people have been talking about it, the way the defense has played. We're taking suggestions as to, a lot of people think, all right, it's a great idea, but first accomplish something. So if you had to chime in with a nickname for this defense that has just entered almost unprecedented territory these first few weeks, what would your suggestion be?
Well, we owe a lot to Andy Avalos. So I tried to say Avalos's Avengers is kind of long. Gangrene was two syllables. so I like Av's Avengers, and we highlighted in the magazine Lamar Winston, his favorite movie was The Avengers. So, senior leader. I mean, I thought of Dye's cast, because Troy Dye is definitely one of the leaders, but I like Av's Avengers. Andy's Avengers, he's a little too soft in a way.
Andy's
so,
Avengers?
Anyway, I heard you talk. What's that?
No, I was repeating Andy's Avengers. I don't think I heard that one yet.
Okay, well, that's what I'm throwing in there. Those two or three, I call them Av's Avengers or Andy's Avengers. Avalos is too long.
Okay. the senior spotlight, Lamar Winston, who, he's been a really good player and another guy who, you know, as a freshman got on the field and, you know, his role has just increased to the point where, now he's one of the leaders of the defense. You know, you get to sit down and talk with this guy. What were some of the things that stuck with you?
Oh, just a real good person of character. He talked about Coach Avalos, that the difference has been his great attention to small details. And so he's really praising the coach. Lamar's had some big plays, a 61-yarder against Cal last year for a touchdown. This year, his stats aren't that great. You know, he's got eight tackles in the hole after six games, two sacks. He's one of the, as Coach says, he does multiple things, pass coverage, rushing the passer, making sure the edge on the run. So just because his stats aren't there, he's still really valuable. And, he's gone through three coaches, defensive coordinators.
Right.
He said he's learned something from every one of them, but he's really impressed with Coach Avalos.
All right, as far as the basketball teams on the men's side, I was talking with Steve Mims the other day, and the roster turnover, obviously Bol Bol made a minimal contribution. He was injured. Lewis King left. Kenny Wooten left. Paul White left. I mean, you know, that's a chunk of the major contributors. But you know, eight new faces. So I guess the question is more general. The fact that the media who follows this conference and really knows these teams and coaches would pick Oregon as even a slight favorite to win this conference, how much do you think that is a reflection on their belief that, well, we've seen it every year pretty much, Altman and McKenna and these coaches, they'll figure out a way and they'll be there at the end?
Yeah, I think the key is Okoro and Pritchard. They were the two leaders that are back. Not that we didn't hate to lose the seven that left and three that left early and two transferred. But I thought it was the coaches, Pac-12 coaches, that predicted, not just the media.
Well,
which means they know these talented players, having recruited or seen them play in tournaments and different things. So that was what was impressive to me. But correct me if I'm wrong, that's what I saw, was the Pac-12 coaches. And that's amazing that they would pick Oregon to be number one when only two of them starters are really back, you know?
Yeah, I was going based on Pac-12 Media Day, but on the women's side, the fact that they have accomplished Elite Eight, Final Four, and now they're a unanimous pick to win. I mean, this, you know, we could argue about the caliber of Pac-12 football, Pac-12 men's basketball comparatively, but this is a cutthroat conference year in, year out, that just fills up WNBA rosters. And I don't have to tell you, it wasn't that long ago on the timeline that 900 people were showing up to watch this team. I mean, like I said, I always say this about you. You follow this as close as anybody for a long time. I mean, how remarkable is it where we sit with what Kelly Graves and his people have done?
Well, it's incredible. I mean, I was always bemoaning the fact that, I mean, under Jody Runge, there was an average of over 5,000 a game, or close to that, and then it just went into the tank. And even Kelly Gray's first year, I don't know if they averaged over 1,000 because it had fallen so much. But no, the recruiting has just been amazing, to get Sabrina Nescu, especially, arguably one of the best high school player, one of the top three in the country, and to get her really started. Now he's got five stars for next coming season, plus another one he's got a verbal from, another five star for the season after that. So it's quite a machine. But like you said, I mean, we lost to Stanford in the Pac-12 tournament. Obviously, we didn't have as much motivation if that was the game we had to win to get into the NCAA tournament. We were already in it. But Stanford's got four or five stars they've recruited. And you're right, it's a very competitive conference, but it's, at the last count, it's probably more than that. There were 6,400 season tickets sold. It's just incredible.
Wow.
Compared to where we were. And it's probably up to 7,000, because that was about a month ago.
No, it's fantastic, and I know folks are already chomping at the bit. So one more time for the folks in the back row, the latest edition of Ducks Illustrated is out and about. It's a freebie. Where can folks pick it up?
And I'm just going to add feature on Jonathan Stewart, who was the announcer for the opening lineup, is also in the magazine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw you taking up close and personal shots of him.
And we did an interview, and it was interesting. Anyway, thank you, and the magazine is free of charge at Bi-Marts, Dairy Marts, the Duck Shops, and the Oregon Sports Stores, as well as all the advertisers have a few copies, too.
Ah, hey, travel safe to Seattle. Enjoy the game.
Yep.
Catch up soon, JT.
Thanks very much.
All right. Break time. We come back. We wrap up the 4 o'clock hour talking trash next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
It's great for the Yankees because now Masahiro Tanaka pitches on regular rest. Guys on short rest usually don't make it work in the postseason. It's hard. He was great in Game 1. He has a great October resume, and they need him to be great in Game 4. Not just great, but pitch deep into the game because they've already overused their bullpen.
Timmy Kirkjian talking about Masahiro Tanaka throwing tonight. I see seven strong. I see a little bit of a tee-off on Granke. Yankees 6, Astros 2, Game 5 tomorrow. All right, we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's that time to wrap the 4 o'clock hour. We hearken back to the original and those who have followed suit, doing some chirping that needs to be evaluated. Folks, it's a little something we call talking trash.
It's time for talking trash.
I can't really hear what Jeremy says because I got my 2 Stanley Cup rings plugging my ear.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Steve and the guys bring people to the table and decide their fate.
Say what?
Who would bet on Ernie Terrell beating me? I told you I was floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee.
You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here?
It's afraid to lose. I think what he should do is we should run this race over again so I can kick his ass one more time.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Son, I gotta do better than this.
That's right. It's time for Talking Trash, brought to you by Lane County Waste Management Division. When in doubt, throw it out. With recycling woes in the news so much, it's important to remember recycling works when you throw out the right stuff. Lane County is offering free resources to label bins with the do's and don'ts for offices and multi-tenant buildings. If you're wondering if something is recyclable in Lane County, then look it up at lanecounty.org/garbageguru. I was able to save recyclable. So this is where we bring up the best or the worst trash talk or the worst people that we can talk about during the week. Who wants to go first? Is it you? Is it me? Is it you?
I'll
is it
go.
Me? Okay. What do you got?
When you talk and you don't back it up, that's not good. Then when you run your yap in particular against your upcoming opponent, get worked, and you won't talk about what you said, yeah, that's brutal. So leading up to last week's Eagles-Vikings game, Philly linebacker Zach Brown put mini quarterback Kirk Cousins in the crosshairs, called him the weakest part of their offense. Cousins responded, his best game of the year, not even close. He had 4 TD passes all year. He torched the Eagles for 4 in a game. After the game, Philadelphia cut Brown. So chirping, losing the game, not willing to own up to it, and then getting released. What do we do with that version of trash talking?
I think we have to dump him because he was literally dumped by a football team.
That's so rare.
You played so bad. And I don't know if the trash talk played a factor. It might have. But when you talk about how a guy is bad and then he proves the exact opposite and then you won't even be like, mess that one up, you got to go.
Yeah. And it's providing us our own answer, which we appreciate.
Next up for me, Wisconsin football. The Badgers are just kind of, you know, that one team that's kind of forgotten about. They're 6th in the AP poll and kind of being disrespected when it comes to the media in terms of teams that might actually be able to win the Big Ten and do something in the college football playoff. But again, they're Wisconsin, so win some, you lose some. but they're in the top 10 mostly because what they've been doing is shutting teams down. In fact, they've been able to do so well. They're claiming now that they own a state. At Badger Football tweeted earlier this week, Wisconsin 61, Central Michigan nothing. Wisconsin 35, Michigan 14. Wisconsin 38, Michigan State 0. Send us the deed at Upper Peninsula. That being the Twitter account for the state of Michigan, specifically the top part, I guess. Either way, Wisconsin literally owns a state now. Them's are the rules. What do we got on this trash talk?
I like that one. Trying to take a state? That would only leave us with 49.
I still think we should have 49, just combine the Dakotas.
It's a one-state, please. It's crazy. I may be willing to throw Montana in as a player to be named later. I don't know. When you go after a state and you can back it off with numbers, I think that's legit. I think we got to incinerate that bad boy.
2 shutouts.
My last one is a sequence. The Oregon Duck mascot has its own Twitter account. 108,000 followers, by the way. Excuse me. And he's been going after Harry the Husky, and it's been relentless. So I'll just give you a few of my favorites. Harry the Husky is no longer allowed at the doorbell store. He doesn't have enough friends to fill his MySpace top 8. He isn't ready to order when he gets to the cashier. Harry the Husky chases squirrels because he's too afraid to chase his dreams. Harry the Husky wears white to a wedding. Harry the Husky eats a burrito starting in the middle.
Oh, no, Harry.
Harry the Husky is indifferent on pizza. And finally, which is vicious to a dog, Harry the Husky can't catch a frisbee to save his life. No question. Week-long trash talking. I'm with you.
My favorite was Harry doesn't wipe his paws after using the fire hydrant.
Oh.
It's disgusting. It's personal hygiene. On the other end of things is Harry the Husky. He only has 4,000 followers compared to the 108,000 that the Duck has. He's also been trying really hard. At the Oregon Duck didn't floss this morning. Yeah, you don't floss in the morning. You floss at night after you've had all of the food, not before you eat a bunch of food. At the Oregon Duck enjoys talking about the weather. It's very interesting. It's always changing all the time. Kind of an important issue to talk about. At the Oregon Duck opens his chips from the bottom. There's no top or bottom on a bag. It's all the same. Come on, get over this. Thinks Bluetooth is something you get fixed by a dentist. All of these are really bad and they're not weird. He also had a Nike logo for a long time until the Duck brought up that he had a Nike logo in his avatar. It's horrible.
So you're just recycling it.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve our time or our debate.
He did not deserve incineration, and that's absolutely the goal here.
He also copied a tweet from the Oregon Duck, because at Oregon Duck said, at Harry the Husky uses an umbrella. That was sent at 3 o'clock in the morning, which, yeah, is a little bit early.
Ooh.
5 hours later, Harry the Husky tweets, the Oregon Duck uses an umbrella. You can't steal trash talk. That's not how trash talk works.
No, if it is plagiarized, then it's reverse. You were too weak to up with any on your own.
No, you're an umbrella. Yeah, good one, dude.
Right, that's real witty. It's a classic case of I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say to me bounces off me and sticks to you.
Oh, good
it's
one,
like,
dude.
Yeah, your trash talk is brought to you by Summer's Eve. All right, so looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour. What do we got going on? Oh, it's just you and I and me trying to concentrate on anything but the Yankee game, which, is that on, Fox Sports 1? Is on, okay. So, we're going to have to do a little bit of rearranging. Remember, tomorrow, we have Duck Talk Live at the IHOP at, Gateway. So free pancakes. Break time back with the 5 o'clock hour on a Thursday, 95.3 The Score.
In my opinion, that sucked.